With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Season's greetings, Grapple fans. Welcome along to this merry festive special edition of the Pro Wrestling Index right here on the Anfield Index podcast channel. Myself, Andy Wills here, joined tonight by not only Mor Chatra, but also by one Guy Drinkle, because, gents, it is time to talk about that magnificent, the exciting event, Clash of Champions.
Buzzing.
Glad to be on. Can't wait to talk about it.
Right then. What I can say is this event did not disappoint. We can't say it failed to live up to expectations because we didn't have many in the first place. So what do you think overall, Mo? Bit meh, terrible, pretty good, better than expected?
Yeah, I think your first description pretty much sums it up. Meh, double meh. It was something we didn't really expect much from, and so it proved. You know, it was just a very flat show. Glorified TV show, perhaps even not as good as some of the recent TV shows, in fact. A lot of very bog standard stuff and nothing that really, really stood out across the whole 3 hours of the show. So I wasn't exactly looking to hit the rewind button to check out the whole show again, that's for sure.
And what about you, Guy? Was it bland enough for you?
Oh, it could have done with some seasoning. yeah.
It was a plain bread bun of wrestling.
Yeah, it was basically like a homemade chip butty. It was a bit shit. I mean, do you know what? I'm going to go off on a chip butty tangent just to fill some time. But do you know when you get a chip butty from the chippy and then it tastes mint and then you do one at home and it's a bit shit? It's like that. But it was just like it was like an episode of Raw, wasn't it? I mean, well, it's probably shorter than an episode of Raw.
It was a bit shorter than Raw.
It had a couple good. One match was better than it was billed to be. And then one match was a letdown. And the tag team match was the star of the night, like it is on every pay per view nowadays, isn't it? But yeah, it wasn't exactly great, but I think it ended up being like 2 hours and 45 minutes. It was probably worth a watch, but. Yeah, it got progressively worse after the first two matches.
Well, let's get into to the card of Clash of the Oven Chip Buddy. first things first, actually, let's start off with the match that actually ended the night. And Mo, we spoke last week about how we expected Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn against Randy Orton and Shinsuke Nakamura to be the match that would actually see the show out, that would close the show, and thought something would be, you know, something significant might happen there. That even though, you know, it was the WWE Championship, that, you know, storyline wise, it wasn't being portrayed as the biggest match of the night. But But here we are, WWE title ending the show. Now, did you feel at that point going in, is there a chance here we might actually see a title change now that they've got it on last? Did you actually begin to wonder going into the match?
Well, I was beginning to fear the worst. But then at the same time, I thought, no, surely they're not that stupid. Even for them. And my fears were allayed and we didn't really have anything to worry about. It was not a great match, certainly, but AJ retained the title and hopefully that puts an end to the experiment that was the world title run for Jinder Mahal.
Yeah, and Guy, you know, it was, obviously it wasn't spectacular or great or anything like that, but we know how great AJ is. And I think he did get more out of Jinder than most people have. It was okay. It was functional. It was a solid match. But do you think this is it now? This is the end of the Jinder Mahal push at the top end of the card?
You can only hope, really, can't you? I mean, it was probably Jinder's best match, but that's not meaning it was a good match. It basically went as every fan hoped in it. I mean, if anyone prefers Jinder Mahal over AJ Styles, I think they're watching the wrong entertainment, sports entertainment, whatever the hell you want to call it nowadays. But yeah, it was Jinder's best match, and well, I suppose it's a nice way of him going away now. You can't really go in a US title picture at the minute. Probably be off TV for a little while, unless there's a feud there for him, but I'm not seeing it. He should really take some time off, and he'll probably end up going back to being a jobber, unless he makes another progression, more progression on his in-ring work, because he can present himself, but his matches have been boring, and he has worked with, well, two of the best guys, you'd say, and then Orton, who is very capable of putting on an amazing match, but yeah, it just didn't really work for him, did it? And the Indian tour experiment ended in a match with Triple H, which he lost.
It says it all, really, doesn't it? Yeah. I think, yeah, as we've said before, you know, for all his limitations, he's put everything into it. Mm-hmm. He's presented and carried himself pretty well. And I do think he can do something in the mid-card with the right kind of push and the right kind of opponent where it doesn't rely too much on the in-ring stuff. Now, you mentioned the US title there, Guy, and that actually kicked the night off. Baron Corbin going in as champion, defending against Bobby Roode and Dolph Ziggler. And I've got to say, the outcome was the least likely of the three potential ones. I've got to say, I certainly didn't expect Ziggler to be walking out as champion.
Yeah, absolutely. I was thinking the same. I mean, there's only two possible winners here. And then there wasn't. Dolph won it somehow. I wouldn't say I'm happy with that, but I'm kind of happy Baron Corbin lost it, because he only ever seems to turn up in triple threat matches. It's really weird. He's just not very entertaining until he can possibly be carried. I don't know if that's harsh or not, but I'm just not really a fan of him. I know Dolph Ziggler's very, 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 very stale, like Bray Wyatt levels, but we know, as soon as he gets in the ring, he's capable of having a good match. The build-up to it's always seemingly cringy and a bit crap, especially the latest one with Bobby Roode. But once you get to the match, it's all right. But yeah, I thought this was a good match. It was probably the surprise of the night, really, which speaks volumes when when we're expecting big things in the Kevin Owens Sami Zayn thing. But anyway, yeah, this was surprisingly a good match, because it just flowed really well. It got stronger throughout. The ending was quite good, and it kind of builds a new character. I know it kind of adds a new string to Dolph Ziggler's bow. See what he can do with it. Obviously, his last mid card title run was after the Miz feud, which kind of just went down like a lead balloon after Miz. It stopped being Miz, didn't it? So let's see where it goes. But I think it should go back to being Dolph and just Dolph and Bobby, really. I know they'll have to give Corbin his rematch, but yeah, Dolph versus Corbin would be very, very boring.
And more, what about what says you then on match quality? Because I've got to say, I thought it was a better outing than what we've seen recently from Bobby Roode. We got to see a bit more of him, but still not the best of him, given who he was working with. And this thing with Dolph Ziggler, you know, we know he is talented, but for whatever reason, you know, that they put him in the ring with guys coming up from NXT, and it just seems to kill them off. And I don't know what's happened to him, but this for me is a backward move. I really feel like this is a backward move for the title, putting it on Ziggler.
Yeah, it was a strange one. You know, as I said, you know, it was something that none of us were really expecting. And I guess the only real reason I can come up with is that when we were going through our predictions last week, I think I ended up predicting everyone to retain their titles, and perhaps they felt that, look, we can't go a show with everyone retaining the titles. There has to be some title change, given that there were four titles on the line during the show. And, you know, they decided, right, okay, well, this is the one that we'll probably change in terms of a title switch. And, you know, they thought, well, okay, we don't want to put a title on Bobby Roode just yet, so let's go with Ziggler. And that's the only rationale I can come up with, because, you know, Ziggler's been cold all year, not really been built up to, you know, look like he'll be heading into a title run at any point, and he was just appearing to be making up the numbers here. All of that said, though, I thought it was actually the best match of the night. It helped that the crowd was actually quite hot, certainly by WWE SmackDown standards, one of the hottest crowds of the year. And the fact it was the opening main card match, the reactions were very good, and that certainly made the match come across better than it actually was. But even then, I still thought it was match of the night. Some great near falls, and you know, well booked, well put together. And you know, I thought Baron Corbin certainly had one of his better performances as well. So yeah, I mean, bizarre booking, but match quality wise, can't complain.
Fair enough. What about the tag team title four way then, Mo? Because I've got to say, look, I was wondering quite how it was going to go beforehand, how they were going to play this. And with, you know, all four teams in the ring at the same time, it was just a mess for me. It was difficult to watch. There was just too much happening at once. And it just seemed really scruffy and not very well thought out, almost as though they put the match together at the last minute without any real plan to this.
Yeah, I was disappointed, actually. I did predict that this would be the match of the night, and given who was involved, the Usos and New Day especially, I thought, you know, this had a real chance to be another really good match involving these tag teams. But, yeah, perhaps having four teams in there made it a bit too clunky and a bit too complex. And I think you, you know, hinted that that could be an issue when we ran our prediction pod a week ago. And so it proved, yeah, it perhaps was you know, a few too many people involved to make it a cohesive match that was easy to follow. And, you know, the end result, I thought, was still overall pretty decent, but given who was involved, not quite at the level I hoped and expected.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And Guy, your thoughts on the tag team title match and the outcome?
I think the right people won. I thought it was enjoyable.
Really? What about Aiden English?
I was getting to him.
Oh, okay, sorry.
yeah, I think the right team won, because I think the Usos have feuds that they can go to quite easily with the Bludgeon Brothers, which we'll probably talk about a grand total of 30 seconds later on.
we'll get to them.
Yeah, but yeah, I think it was an enjoyable match, but it's never going to match Usos versus New Day and Bar versus Shield, is it, and stuff like that. I think it did a good job getting over, well, not youngish guys, but newish talent. I think Chad Gable, you saw with the German suplex spot, which ended up leading to the end of the match. I think, Mo said in the previous match, the crowd was really hot. And, I mean, that's probably the best reaction Rusev's ever got. And it was quite facey. I don't know if they just liked everyone, but Aiden English is seemingly doing a better job than Lana ever did in getting Rusev over. I think they have potential as a tag team. The match itself was all right, but I think it showed a couple potential superstars. Really, I think Chad Gable could do with a singles run. I think Shelton Benjamin was probably the least noticeable in this match, whereas I think Chad Gable really stood out in with some of the biggest tag team stars in the company. I mean, he kind of overshadowed the New Day. They probably had their quietest match, and the Usos didn't really get involved till the end, really. So I think Chad Gable needs a singles run, and I think there is a spot in there for him. So maybe rush through a breakup with Shelton Benjamin, see how that goes. But yeah, Aiden English is definitely SmackDown Bay at the minute.
SmackDown Bay. Rusev Day.
He was the best thing of that pay-per-view.
he is doing a good job. My concern is that Rusev becomes too much of a comedy character, because we've already got way too many comedy characters. And I think Rusev, if it's a temporary kind of thing in the way that it was for Kevin Owens, then that's fine. It just adds another layer to his character. But I would fear that
it bias to it.
Yeah, that's
the best stable. That's the stable I want.
what I will pick bones with here is Chad Gable and Shelton Benjamin. I've got to disagree on splitting them. I think them two need to have a run together and really get that tag team going, and to help Chad Gable get over more before they even think about moving him into the singles. That's the way I feel on that one.
Yeah, I mean, it is a fair point. I mean, it may have just been a really hot crowd, as Mo said, by WWE standards. That's literally like CM Punk Chicago days. So yeah, where was it? Was it Austin or Texas somewhere? I'm not sure.
Boston.
Was it?
Yeah. Austin, yeah.
Good guess. yeah, it's let's probably see how it goes, but I think Chad Gable definitely has a similar potential to his former tag team partner on Raw.
Yeah, and that's a concern for me. Split them up too soon, send him into the singles, and he might head along the same unfortunate path. But anyway, now you've mentioned the Bludgeon Brothers, so let's get to them. 30 seconds, which is pretty close to their average match length at the moment. I've got to say, they're a guilty pleasure of mine. I enjoy their matches, what they're doing, the way they're being presented in the ring, the style. It's old school and it's fun. Not convinced on their attire, and I definitely do not like the promos, because the stuff after it, the promo after it, Jesus Christ, that stunk the place out with cheese. That was awful. Come on, guy, you've got to be with me on that one.
Yeah, absolutely. I've always liked Luke Harper. I liked his singles run before. Eric Rowan's really only ever had a feud with the Big Show in a singles thing. So I think they kind of need each other. Eric Rowan especially. But yeah, in terms of on the mic skills, I mean, I think Luke Harper has a certain level of charisma, but he certainly didn't show after this match. So maybe they did need Bray Wyatt, but maybe just keep them away from the bloody mics from now on. But yeah, match-wise, they're always going to have quality matches. Luke Harper's an excellent worker, especially for someone of his size. And Eric Rowan, he's not as good as Harper, but he's certainly enjoyable.
And Mo, are you warming to the Bludgeon Brothers? But perhaps not warming quite so much to the Stilton-like promo scripts afterwards?
Yeah, WWE's got this knack of putting people on promos who are probably not suited to promos, or certainly cutting long promos. And you know, the Bludgeon Brothers certainly join the Finn Balor club when it comes to that sort of thing. You know, their strength is going out there having short-term squash matches where, you know, they're allowed to just squash their opponents, look really good in doing so, and getting out of the ring and moving on. So yeah, it's an unnecessary distraction from, you know, what should be the highlight of their appearances, which is just going out there, kicking ass, and moving on. It served its purpose. Obviously, wasn't a great match. Never was going to be. But
what about that spot on? I felt really fell for him on the outside. Right on the edge of the ring where they slammed him down. Oh wow, that made me cringe that bit, and not for the reasons that the promo made me cringe.
Yeah, apron spots are never much fun if you're on the receiving end. You know, there's not much or any padding there. I mean, it's basically a metal pole. When you're slammed on there, it's something that you're going to certainly feel the next day. So not very pleasant experience, but, you know, it's all, I guess, part of getting them over as a no-nonsense, hard-hitting tag team.
Yeah, I trust that Tyler Breeze protected himself sufficiently, but it certainly looked effective. And like you say, yeah, it was a bit of fun that just adds to that thing that they're building. And I do hope it's a slow build, because I do feel like it's a bit of a one-dimensional team, and then it's not a long-lasting thing that they can have. So the more they stretch their build out, the better, unlike the promos. So, Women's Championship next. Charlotte Flair versus Natalya with the rest of the other four members of the women's roster. Sorry, there's not four members now. There's about eight of them, members of the women's roster at ringside. Not a great deal to say about this match, really, more. I guess we got what we expected with some of them cliche lumberjack spots on the outside.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Yes, we did. You know, the match itself was nothing to write home about. And that's pretty much par for the course where Natalya matches are concerned. It's very rare that we see her take part in great matches. Part of the reason why I don't really get her reputation. I mean, she's considered to be a really solid top worker, and I just don't see it. But you know, we predicted that Charlotte would retain, and so she did. And hopefully she can move on from this. And, you know, somebody like a Ruby Riott, as we speculated last week, might be a good opponent as any. So let's see. We record this as just before SmackDown airs, so we don't know the outcome of SmackDown, listeners. So before we know, it could be that Natalya's next opponent is Tamina, but... let's just wait and see.
Good God. I want to see that now.
Well, I actually, Guy, you know, what I've put to you is, what about afterwards then? This whole thing with Natalya afterwards, was this some kind of a hint that you know, she's her career's coming to a close, or she's just going to take time off. I mean, it was a bit of a strange interview.
Yeah, that was my first thought, a kind of retirement promo, but it kind of went away from that, didn't it? Like, she started banging on about Charlotte rather than herself and the crowd, so I'm not sure. I don't know if she just screwed up the promo or whatever, but I don't think it would be a retirement promo, because to go on about calling Charlotte a cheater and stuff like that, it would have been weird, but it might develop on SmackDown, as Mo said. We've not seen it yet. But yeah, it probably rivaled the Bludgeon Brothers for crap promo of the night, didn't it? It was just really random, and I agree with Mo, the match was just a cliched lumberjack match where there's always a big move that takes out everyone outside the ring, and then the match itself's pretty crap. Most interesting thing is that Carmella, well, didn't even really try to cash in. It was just like the most half-assed attempt I've ever seen. But yeah, it was that was the most interesting thing. And I think there was rumours beforehand, but yeah, didn't happen. I think it kind of needs it, because I don't really see who Charlotte goes to next. I'm not sure any of the NXT newbies are ready.
No, well, perhaps, you know, as Mo's mentioned, Ruby Riott steps up as an opponent, and maybe that's where we get the actual cash in. Maybe he's at the Royal Rumble, and that could set them up for a match then. So, yeah, who knows? And I hate to say this, but at the moment, who really cares? That's how that division feels. Yeah, it's a bit flat. And to be honest, a lot of SmackDown is a bit flat at the moment. Now, that leaves us with Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn versus Randy Orton and Shinsuke Nakamura. Now, this for me, I've got to say, my gripe with this match more was that it was more about the two special referees in the ring than it was any one of the four wrestlers who were actually taking part in the match. And this, for me, is too often the case. Whenever Shane McMahon is involved in something around the ring, it becomes too much about Shane and the storyline with Shane and what's actually happening in the ring with the wrestlers, the full-time wrestlers who we're supposed to be investing in and getting behind, becomes kind of secondary. What about yourself? What was your take on it?
Well, it's always all about the McMahons, isn't it? It's always got to be about them. Well, I suppose they're entitled to make it about them because they own the company. I think, well, technically speaking, Shane is no longer even a part owner. I think he sold all of his shares for an ill-fated business venture in China, which never worked out, and had to come grovelling back to his dad for a job. The match itself was underwhelming, given who was involved. Now we had Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn, and Shinsuke Nakamura, who are top workers. But in saying that, I do think, you know, looking back at 2017, Kevin Owens has had actually quite a disappointing year. I mean, we know how talented he is, and yes, he's had the odd few great match here and there, but by his lofty standards, this has actually been quite a disappointing year. The program he had over a number of months with, who was it now?
AJ Styles?
Yes, with AJ. It was surprisingly disappointing. I had really high hopes for it, and I thought this would be a highlight of the year for the WWE. On paper, the two top workers in the company having this feud over a number of months. And yet their matches invariably felt like letdowns. And, even in this match, didn't really feel it. And, he and Zayn as a tag team should be perhaps the best double act in the company at this moment in time, because in the ring, certainly historically speaking, they are two of the best workers in the company, and being friends and being able to bounce off each other and know exactly what to do and say to kind of make that act feel really special and very organic. Just not feeling it yet. Maybe with time it'll come, but And maybe they need a title run as well.
It doesn't help when you're partnered with Shane McMahon, who basically takes the spotlight like any other McMahon, doesn't it? And Randy Orton, who is just a charisma vacuum at the minute.
Yeah, so yeah.
I think them two need to move on to something more fresh and probably not split, like not split up, but more of a singles feud between them, if you get what I mean. Having these put together random tag team matches kind of kills it for both of them, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely.
The match itself was a backdrop for the whole Shane versus Daniel Bryan stuff. And by the end of it, it was inconclusive. I mean, Daniel Bryan seemed to turn heel, but did he really? Was it actually Shane that turned heel? So it wasn't quite clear exactly what they were trying to say in terms of the storyline. But I guess we'll find out with SmackDown.
Yeah, and Guy, I mean, could you take anything away from the match itself? Or was it there was just so much going on in terms of Shane and Daniel Bryan that the match was almost irrelevant?
Yeah, that's how I feel. The match was completely pointless. I mean, they could have just put, if Daniel Bryan was cleared to wrestle, they could have just put a Shane McMahon versus Daniel Bryan match. And it would have been more interesting because you got, as Mo just said there, Owens and Sami Zayn and Nakamura kind of just being wasted in this feud. Orton serving no real purpose as a face anymore. Not really putting anyone over. I know he eventually got the pinfall, but it didn't really matter. Yeah, the match itself was just pointless, and it didn't even lead to anything via Daniel Bryan or Shane McMahon turning heel, did it?
That's it. Not really, no. But just from the pure sort of psychological side of it, I mean, obviously the whole thing with the wrestling, you know, the traditional thing is the odds are stacked against the baby faces in order for you to root for them to overcome the odds and come out victorious.
Yeah.
But here we have a supposed baby face boss, you know, building them odds, mounting them odds against a heel tag team because he's trying to fire them. Now, and we're supposed to cheer. It doesn't, the way it's been booked and presented, it just doesn't, for me, it doesn't get the crowd invested in the way that they should be.
Yeah, I think it can work. I mean, times have kind of changed, haven't they, where you cheer who you're meant to boo and you boo who you're meant to cheer nowadays, aren't you? Roman Reigns, point example A, and example Z as well. but yeah, it was really structured poorly. I mean, Daniel Bryan, probably the most liked guy outside of Cena, isn't he? Shane McMahon's always popular, and then you kind of just got Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, who are really popular. And the face team is two people who haven't really, well, Randy Orton's been irrelevant for a while, and Nakamura's been probably, well, he's just been booked horrendously, hasn't he? And he hasn't done himself any favours since coming up from NXT. So yeah, the first team was just a damp squib team, wasn't it? And then it kind of just was a damp squib of a feud and a match. And well, let's see where it goes with SmackDown. But yeah, hopefully it's done and dusted, and then it's Bryan versus Shane happens some other way.
Well, more, have you heard anything? Is this an actual possibility? Do we feel that there is some kind of possibility here that Daniel Bryan might actually get clearance from WWE? Is that why they're doing this? And then we're going to get Daniel Bryan versus Shane McMahon perhaps at WrestleMania?
Nothing's completely come out, but I think it's almost inevitable now that that's the direction they're going in. If they weren't, I don't think we'd be seeing Daniel Bryan involved in this kind of way. It's very, very clearly leading to something. And I don't think it's just to use Daniel Bryan as a heel GM. I think the end result will be a return to the ring for Daniel Bryan. Since he retired a couple of years ago, he's had further tests done this year, and they've all given him a clean bill of health and recommended that he's able to come back to the ring. But it was WWE's Dr. Black that needed convincing, and it might be that he's finally come round and accepts that Daniel Bryan is fit and able to return to the ring. And on top of that, Daniel Bryan's also got, I think, less than a year left on his WWE contract. And you know, if he were to head out to the independents or something like New Japan, he'd be a real asset to whoever he goes to work for. So I think WWE have also got that at the back of their mind, that if they continue to insist that he can't return within a year, he'll be heading elsewhere and possibly shifting the needle for somebody else.
Yeah, it's going to be a curious one. It certainly will disappoint a lot of fans and just really get them irate if the end result is this, of this, is that we're just getting a supposed Daniel Bryan heel turn, and that he's just kind of siding with Owens and Zayn. I think they're really going to wind the fans up, which is probably not the best of ideas, you know, to tease them with the return of such a popular guy to the ring. So, like you both said, we'll just have to see how this one plays out. Final thing then before we go for this episode. Last night, as we record this, last night's Monday Night Raw, there was the announcement made, we're going to get a women's Royal Rumble event more. Can you add a bit more to that news?
Yeah, so WWE has come out and announced that there'll be two Royal Rumble matches for the first time in history at the Royal Rumble event. One for the men, one for the women. Obviously, in the past, we've had the odd female turn up in the Royal Rumble match. But WWE has obviously got a good 20 or so female competitors across Raw and SmackDown. And, you know, they feel that to give kind of parity with the male workers, it's fair that the women get the chance to compete in a Royal Rumble match as well. And I think I really welcome that. I'd really love to see that. And I think you know, the reaction to that will be very good. And it was clearly something that was quite an emotional moment for one or two of the women, especially Paige, who I think broke down when it was being announced. So that was quite a touching moment, certainly for Paige. And obviously she's had her own battles to deal with, so good news like that meant something quite a lot to her.
Yeah, it's quite a momentous occasion, and we've had a lot of big steps forward for the women's wrestling in the past year or two. So yeah, it's another big forward step, and it just kind of shows the progress that has been made. And you know, we mentioned Natalia, you know, years ago, she's been here for a decade. You know, years ago, she was seen as probably just about the best worker in the women's side of it, because when you looked around, it was effectively just Barbie dolls. And I think it shows how much things have progressed, that she's now seen as a pretty average worker and quite sort of bland, because the other women, a lot of the women that are on that roster now are proper wrestlers. They are, you know, they are proper workers in the ring. You know, we're not just seeing, you know, models and Barbie dolls showing a few wrestling moves anymore, are we, Mo? You know, this is the way that the women's division in WWE has really progressed in the way that it should.
Oh, absolutely. And it's been long overdue. I mean, in the 90s, I was watching All Japan Women's Pro Wrestling, and all female wrestling promotion, and that was all about presenting the wrestlers as you know, athletes. Whereas in the WWE, for many, many years, the women were treated like, or certainly presented like, you know, there is eye candy, and you know, as bimbos, and you know, they're to be looked at, Ron, they're to be admired for their athletic abilities. And you know, it's a shame that it's only in the last couple of years that they finally have tried to move on from that kind of remnant from the Attitude Era and present women in the same way they present the men. And, you know, they've certainly added immense value to both Raw and SmackDown, being presented in that way. The likes of Sasha Banks and Alexa Bliss and Charlotte, you know, are key members of the overall main roster. And it's good to see that other, this latest positive step in bringing some equality to the WWE.
And one final thing from you, Guy, then. Were you encouraged by this news?
Yeah, I think it's something that probably needed to happen. I think this may be one of the main reasons why they brought up, Paige coming back and then the other five people getting called up from NXT. It'll help fill out for this. And I think it'll be interesting to see if they have any surprises, like comebacks, new signings, some, I don't know, old guard, maybe Lita or Trish makes an appearance, something like that. It'll be quite interesting to see what happens. I'm very much welcoming it. The only bad thing about it is I think Asuka will probably win it, which is quite obvious. it'll be interesting, and I think now that the women's roster is more filled out, I think it's a good thing, and it's a much needed thing. And the roster's only going to grow with the strong NXT roster and Ronda Rousey and all the UFC people coming in, so it's only going to keep growing.
Exactly, yes. Interesting times ahead. So that just about wraps things up for this episode of the Pro Wrestling Index here on the Anfield Index podcast channel. My thanks to Mo and Guy for joining me tonight. And our thanks to all of you for tuning in and for hitting that download button, not just for tonight, but all throughout the year. So we wish you a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. We will be back next week with a very special episode where we're going to take a look back at 2017 and just pick out our best of and worst of from WWE, and that will be all sorts of things in there: matches, events, shows, wrestlers, you name it. We're going to go through the lot, so that's to look forward to next week. But from now, from me, Andy Wales, it's bye bye now.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.